God is good. Amen. All right, let's pray over the tithes and offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. It's a reality in our lives. Thank you, Father, we bring the tithes. It's worship unto you, acknowledging all that we have is yours. Thank you, Father, for blessing the remaining that we have. And thank you, Lord, for the seed that we bring as offering we sow shall be multiplied back to us in Jesus' name. And there shall be no lack in the kingdom of God. And we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue on the study on faith. Today we're going to study on the faith of David, Elijah, and Elisha. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the grace of the Heavenly Father has been dispensed to the human race since Jesus' resurrection. But it takes faith to receive His grace for salvation, healing, direction, and deliverance from oppression and crisis. Right? It takes faith. Amen? Grace has always been there. Grace has been there since Jesus came to earth. That's why in John 1:17 says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Right? No, it came. And the grace of God has always been there. But nobody could receive it without faith. Right? Why? Because faith comes from knowledge. Knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to have the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ that the grace of God may be multiplied to you. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Right? Grace and peace is multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And when knowledge comes, faith comes. Else, grace has always been there. Nobody knows the grace of God is there for them to take. And it will not benefit you without having knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Not just of God. Knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 1, 3. So, to believers, to the church, actually most important is the faith, word of faith revival. Right? Praise God. So to the human race, faith is more important because without faith, we cannot receive His grace. Without faith, we cannot please God. At the same time, we come before His throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help. Right? And when we have faith, we come before His throne of grace. Amen. And we have been studying the man of faith in the Old Testament. Let's continue. Today, we're going to study David's faith and his experiences. So, you see, when we study every man of God in the Old Testament, the way they walk by faith is different, right? Amen? There is a different emphasis, a different something stands out with every one of them. When God told Abraham, you know, he just left Mesopotamia. He just left, you know, not knowing where he was going. When God told Sarah is going to have a son and she has to judge that God is faithful, what is impossible will be possible. See? Else she couldn't receive the promises of God. Amen? Right. Now let's talk about David's faith. David has to do with Prophet Samuel. Samuel went to Jesse's home to seek his son to anoint him as king and replace King Saul. Because God had rejected King Saul. Now, it's very interesting, when God rejected King Saul, He just removed the anointing. And King Saul still remained in the position of king for 40 years. So actually, he completed 40 years. So it's very important that when God puts someone in the position, and that person may not have favor with God, it'll be very important you don't go against that person. A person in authority. You're going against God's authority, because God put him there, right? Spiritually, it's the same. The church is the same, you know. You can pray that God, come a time that God move the pastor, but don't go against him. You know, many years back, I think some of you heard me tell this story. And I was cell leader, you know. First thing, I just led the cell group. And no, I just called the other cell leaders and said, together we pray. Pray this zone pastor out. Pray him out. Actually, he grew up without a father. So, and then he signed on in the army. He became very militant, you know. When he trained missionaries in the church, he trained them like training commandos. Right? So, came apart, I just felt, I call other cell group leader to pray him out, no? A pastor, no? And we were started to pray every Saturday morning. 2 weeks later, he just decided to just step down. But now this, you have to pray by the Spirit of God. That means the Holy Spirit agree and have you pray. Another time, I was praying for pastors to change. So we thought, you know, we are praying for those pastors underneath the senior pastor to change. When we pray, the senior pastor changed. 6 months we prayed. Right? But you have to pray by the Spirit of God. So you cannot just simply go against somebody, who's, especially in the spiritual authority. If you have the Spirit of God with you to pray, you can pray. You are doing him a favor. You pray for him to change me. He stepped out of the permissive will of God into the perfect will of God. So I'm not praying harm, praying to do harm. I'm praying for his good. Pray him into the perfect will of God. So God removed his anointing from King Saul, but he still remained as king for a long time. God spoke to Samuel to go to Jesse's home to anoint one of his sons to be king in place of King Saul. Jesse had 8 sons. So when he saw the first one, Maul must be the first one. But the Lord spoke, said, no, the first one was not the one. Then subsequently, the next 6 sons, God was silent, right? God did not say anything, whether the second to the 7th son was the one to place King Saul. And then when Samuel realized that, no, not any of these 7, then he asked Jesse, do you have any more sons? He said, yeah, there's one up in the mountain looking after sheep and goats. And that was David. So at the time, David, a teenage boy up on the mountain looking after sheep and goats. Samuel had Jesse call David to come before Samuel, and the Lord said David was the one he will anoint as the next king. The first son, the Lord said, no, he's not the one. Subsequently, the second to the 7th son, the Lord was silent. On the 8th son, the Lord said, no, that's the one. And so when he was a teenage boy, the Lord anointed him. Amen. And many a times it's like this, you know, God has a plan for us. We have to be patient. He anointed him as a teenage boy as king. Can he be a king? I mean, China can, 8 years old can be a king, an emperor, because the emperor died, so the son had to take over, you know. But no, not in this case. David was a teenage boy when Samuel anointed him, but he wasn't king. He had to wait for many years later, right? So Samuel had Jesse call David to come before Samuel, and the Lord said David was the one, and he will anoint as the next king. Then after that, there was a war between Israel and Philistines. For 40 days, Goliath of the Philistine challenged Israel to send one person to fight with him. About the time David's father sent David to bring food for his brother on the battlefield. In those days, it's different, you know, right? So David could go to the battlefield and say, oh, the enemy is there. So David's father sent David to bring food for his brothers on the battlefield. And David heard Goliath cursing Israel. Israel was afraid of Goliath and no one would fight Goliath. Now let's read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. Then David said to King Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of this Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. His big brother stand up to fight Goliath. And this teenage boy said, I'll go and fight Goliath. Verse 33, 1 Samuel. Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are a youth, you're just a youth, you're a teenage boy. And he had been a man of war from his youth. Right? In other words, 1, you're small size. 2, you have no experience fighting any war. That guy is so big, has so much experience fighting wars. So Goliath was very experienced in fighting wars, but David had no experience at all. And where did David's confidence come from? How come he was so sure he could fight Goliath, the giant? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, in a sense, this is a story of also something that's impossible. Just like Sarah having a son was impossible. To fight Goliath also was impossible, right? But David's situation and Sarah was different. Sarah didn't have to go and fight any war. Sarah just need to have faith, judge God is faithful, who promised, and nothing else. Verse 35, Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. 1 Samuel 17, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, verse 35, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it, struck it, and killed it. He was a teenage boy. So when the lion took the sheep by the mouth, he went after the lion. And the lion turned around against him, he fought the lion. Teenage boy. So he must be a strong teenage boy. Correct or not? Right? Now, verse 36. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. The lion and the bear didn't run away. Right? They were killed by David. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. You know, he never had experience fighting any war. And he just fought the lion and the bear. Lion and bear is enough, really. For us, we see one small bear and we run. Verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. What makes him so sure the Lord delivered him from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, God would deliver him from Goliath? How did he know that God delivered him from the lion and the bear? I wouldn't say David was small size, skinny, you know. But how do you know? But I mean, if you go to the gym or so, probably you won't be able to fight unless you're Hercules, you know. Else, how to fight a lion and a bear, right? But he knew the Lord delivered him. He knew, he recognized, when the Lord bless you, one, you recognize it's God's blessing. Two, you give him the glory. Amen? He gave God the glory. He said, the Lord is the one who delivered me. Amen. So you praise him, you worship him. Why? Because he's the one who bless you. Correct? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. This is about David, who, through faith, I want you to pay attention to the word through. Amen. Through faith. The earlier part of the scripture of Hebrews 11 said by faith. Abraham by faith. But it said David through faith. Became valiant, strong, in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Through faith. So it was through faith David became strong and put the whole army of the enemy to flight. The word through actually then has this meaning of a whole duration of a period of time. That means by faith he fought the lion, by faith he fought the bear, and through the lions and through the bear, now he fought Goliath. See that? That's the meaning of the word through, of the whole duration of a period of time. That means first time the Lord spoke to him to fight the lion, he fought. Second time the Lord spoke to him to fight the bear, he fought and he won. Both the lion and the bear were killed. It was through the first experience of fighting the lion, the second experience of fighting the bear, and now he has the confidence to fight Goliath. Amen. So in a sense, God actually built his faith. True faith means one time by faith, David fought the lion, another time by faith, he fought the bear. God built up David's faith through a series of events where he had to rely on God's power. That means the Lord spoke to him when he fought the lion and when he fought the bear. Amen. By faith what? Faith comes by hearing. Amen. So you always remember where you came from. When you were poor and now you are rich, you remember. Once upon a time, you just, you know, just finished school, you paid $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month, and now you're earning big money. What's your attitude towards God? Right? Very simple. Right? My grandmother taught me a lot of this Chinese culture is very biblical. No? You don't forget. You be grateful. So it's the same thing, you know, you don't forget how the Lord blessed you, brought you thus far, no. Amen. So it's good that, you know, if you are really rich, then your children grow up in a big home like that. You may think of a way how to teach them. Think of a way how to teach them. Don't spoil them. You teach them, you prepare them for the world. You spoil them, I'm telling you, because the world is not going to spoil him or her. Amen. Jezebel, you know, his ministry became so big. One day, he purposely went back to the first place when he did the seminar, and it was so small, so few people came. He stayed in a motel. He went back and just spent one or two nights in the motel to remind himself where he came from when his ministry was so small. First, you must remember how the Lord has blessed you. Two, be grateful to those people who have been with you, walk with you, run with you. Next thing, then you got to be grateful to those friends that you have. But friends change, you have to be careful. Friends do change, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's why it's good, you know. First thing, you put your children, fake kids, they have friends. Second thing, you go to prayer group, you develop friendship so that people can pray for you. They know what you're going through and they pray for you. Amen. And you don't forget after you start make your millions, you don't forget, you know. Right? Praise the Lord. So, same thing. How God brought David to the point. No, he wasn't even king. He was a teenager fighting the lion, teenager fighting the bear, and he still was a teenager when he had to fight Goliath. All those preparation was for him to be king. Amen. Because after that, he had to run from Saul. He fought Goliath. He defeated Goliath, defeated the whole army of the Philistine. Not long after that, King Saul turned against him. Now, human is like that. That's why we need wisdom. We need wisdom. We need God's wisdom. We need God's grace because you need to discern. Sometimes you have friends like that. Come to a point, they turn against you. King Saul turned against David. David fought Goliath, defeated the whole Philistine army. And next thing, King Saul turned around and tried to kill David. So what did the Lord say to David? The Lord must have said, I will deliver you from the paw of the lion. Right? I will deliver you from the paw of the bear. Right now. Because it was through faith. He fought the lion and the bear. There's only one way faith comes is by hearing from God, the spoken word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, because he said, you know, in one of the scriptures, he said that, for the Lord will deliver me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So, what did the Lord say to David? Then, when David faced Goliath, the Lord must have spoken to him, I will deliver you from the hand of this Philistine. Amen. But you see, even though God spoke to him that I will deliver you from this hand of the Philistine, he had never had experience going to war, had never had experience fighting a Goliath when he was a teenager. Amen. So, who was stronger, Goliath or the lion and the bear? I think maybe Goliath more fearful. Because he's huge and he got the spear and all that stuff. You know, he's much taller, so probably, right? But anyway, he had no experience fighting, neither had he any experience fighting the lion, you see, you know. So another principle in following the leading is when the Lord leads you, you just walk. And you better be ready. He may lead you into something that you've never done before. Right or not? Abraham ever left his home, his families and hometown? No, he never. He just walked. Amen. David, had he ever fought a lion? No. He fought the lion. Had he fought Goliath before? No. Right? And to walk, that's why it's called a walk of faith. We walk by faith. God speaks, we walk. We do. Right now. Praise God. Amen. So whatever God tells us, we just do it. Right? we disregard everything else and just do what the Lord tells us to do, and you'll be blessed. You may not see the immediate blessing, but you'll be blessed. You do not know, you know, how you will be blessed. You'll be surprised, you know, how God's going to bless you. It's going to be beyond your imagination. But if you don't walk with Him, He leads you, you don't walk, you won't see it. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. So, what I'm trying to say is, you prepare your children for what is to come, just like God prepared David. Amen? Praise the Lord. But anyway, you know, if the Lord leads you to some place, He'll prepare you in the first place. Amen? And you want to go where the Lord leads you, He'll prepare you in the first place. He always prepares you. Amen? So you just be sure that God is leading, then you just go and then He'll re-prepare you. Things will be fine. So hence David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. If God did not say to him, then David was making an assumption. Assumption is not faith. Amen. Some people presume, you know, God has spoken. Amen. It's not faith. You presume that God will bless you, God will do this for you. If you didn't hear from God, it's your presumption. If what David said was not God's speaking to him, then it was his presumption. He will be defeated, killed by Goliath. Amen. So that's why I'm very sure that God spoke to David that I will deliver you from the hand of the Philistine. If not, he said it, then he went to fight Goliath. His presumption. Presumption is just your own thinking, your imagination, what you conjure up in your mind. That's not faith. Faith is God speaks. You heard it in your spirit. You receive it in your spirit. There's no other way. Amen. Then when you go anywhere He leads you, you may be scared, right? But you'll be fine. He already prepared you already. And much prayer has been prayed and the road ahead has been paved, you know. Angels has gone before you, right? And you are ready to go. You'll be fine over there. Amen. Faith comes by hearing the spoken word, not by presumptions. David fought Goliath through his faith and from past experiences. How do we know the Lord told David He would deliver him from the Philistine? Because David said in verse 37, early on we read, right, the Lord will deliver me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. God has spoken. Amen. If not, then it was David's presumption. Amen. So when we pray much, right, it helps us to separate what we presume God has spoken in our mind and what we have heard actually is in our spirit. Amen. Prayer helps us to quiet down our soul so that we can distinguish, separate the two. Oh, it's just my mind, imagination. It's my mind, not actually in the spirit. I'm telling you, you're looking for a wife, you better separate the two, your soul and your spirit. You date a girl, you know, oh man, she looks good, man, she looks like my, you know, which movie star you date and everything sounds good. Your soul's got involved, so get taken in, you cannot hear what's in your spirit. What should you do? Stop seeing her for 1 month at least, 3 months, too long, I want to say. Then you say, wait, I need to seek God, or 2 weeks. Amen, don't go and date her. Seek God so that you can hear from your spirit. And what should you do? Put it aside. You want to hear from God, whatever you want so badly, put it aside. Amen. Lay it down. Then you go and seek the Lord. Amen. So David had never fought in a war, let alone confronting Goliath. The army of Israel and King Saul were afraid of Goliath, yet David would offer to fight Goliath. What was David's confidence based on? David was a shepherd boy in his youth, whereas Goliath had been a man of war since childhood. By faith, David fought and killed the lion. By faith, he fought and killed the bear. David recognized that supernatural power of God has come upon him to fight the lion and the bear. Right? Based on his experience and recognition of the Lord's power, plus the Lord telling David that he would deliver him from the Philistine, David had the confidence to confront Goliath. I mean, for a teenage boy to fight Goliath, he wasn't a grown-up man. Amen. He really had faith. And God prepared him that he needed the experiences. Amen. So though David was in his teens, took on the insignificant task of shepherding the sheep and the goats and hiding on the mountain, youngest among the eight sons. Another thing, the father sent him up to the mountain to look after the sheep and goats. And don't tell me the father didn't know up on the mountain there were lions and bears. Don't shield your son from the world. David's father sent the younger son up on the mountain to look after sheep and goats, knowing there were lions and bears. Amen. He sent him up there. That's the father's faith, David's father's faith. But all this while, so God, through David's father, through David looking after sheep, God was preparing him. He was to lead a nation. He was leading a nation. First and foremost, he was running away from Saul. After that, he had to fight many battles. Goliath was just the first one. But God prepared him. Amen. That's why we pray concerning God's plans. God's plan is very important, very crucial. We pray for our children. This is one main reason why. Don't just push your children, get all the A's and forget about God, the knowledge of God. But when you come to facing the Goliath, all your A's will not do you any good, okay? When you're out in the corporate world. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Like I said before, after a while, you finish university, nobody cares about your straight A's or top university you come from. Amen. The world is not that kind, okay? Right? Because if you shield your children from, right, you do everything for them, they grow up, they don't know how to take care of their families. They don't know how to take care of their wives, their children, they don't know how to take care of their families. Right? Then they better marry a wife who knows how to take care of everything, including him. So, it was an insignificant task. Up on the mountain, nobody can see you. Look after the sheep and goats. How boring, you know. But it was in that insignificant place that the Lord anointed and prepared David by exposing him to the lions and the bears. David's father entrusted him with a dangerous job. But the Lord anointed him. Amen. Okay, let's go on to the next study. Elijah plead for the widow's son. God sent Elijah to a widow to feed him because of a famine. The widow only had enough oil and enough flour for one bread. And that's what God used. Amen. You become very successful, don't look down on others. God used that widow. Amen. To feed Elijah, the big prophet. The Lord gave Elijah the instruction for the widow to make the last bread to feed Elijah and make bread for her son and herself, and the oil and the flour did not run dry. Then the widow's son died. You know, the widow's son died not because of Elijah. And many a times it's like that. When God sends somebody to you, he knows now you feed him. Down the road, you have a need. Now the widow needs Elijah because the son died. You don't see the problem, the crisis you're heading into, but you see. But right now, he already has somebody to come into your life to help you already. When you come across a crisis down the road, months or years down the road, man, this person whom you feed is the one who's going to help you through your crisis. Amen. Praise God. So that's why I say, don't forget others who have helped you. Especially if God uses others who help you, don't forget. Because down the road, that could be the person that helped you. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 20. Then Elijah cried to the Lord, saying, "O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by allowing her son to be killed?" Now, Elijah did not hear from God. He pleaded his case. He had faith to plead. He said, you allow this tragedy on the widow whom I'm staying with? This widow allowed me to stay in her home and feed me. See that? Another thing you can learn is somebody's need, don't run away. Right? You pray. You plead the case for them. Amen. So Elijah cried out to God. He said, Lord, you brought tragedy. You brought tragedy on this widow whom I've been staying with by allowing her son to be killed. Verse 22. And he prayed. Verse 21. And he stretched himself out on the child three times. And he cried to the Lord, saying, Oh Lord, my God, I pray. Here, pray means to plead. Elijah brought the widow's son to the upper room. Always about the upper room. The scripture does not say the Lord spoke to Elijah, but he prayed. The word pray is more of pleading, right? Some of the dictionaries say, he said, it means please, Lord. Plead. He had faith to plead, and Elijah pleaded. Pleading is the prayer of supplication. Supplication means to plead. When we do not hear from God, we can plead. Pleading, our case means knowing it is God's will to heal. And death is not of God. Right, once you know it's God's will, so we plead. When you didn't hear from God. Especially when someone is young, we can always plead the case if it's a life and death situation. But if you're old, you know, you're stubborn, God, who can I help you? Amen. Now we are in the New Testament church. We have the gift of praying in our own tongues to reveal mysteries. We can pray into the future. We have authority in Jesus' name, the local church. We should constantly pray. Then through prayer, we may avert many disasters. Don't wait until crisis like this, then plead. Amen. We can even plead the case before someone gets into a crisis or a disaster hits. Sometimes in unknown tongue, we plead. Amen. Because we are praying for something that's unknown, something is going to happen in the near future, God can see, but we can plead our case through praying in unknown tongues. We have faith to pray in unknown tongues and supplication prayers for you. The church has faith to pray, supplication prayer, or plead the case. Elijah pleaded for the widow's son, and the Lord answered. Amen. I remember very clearly, Adrian's case, I pleaded. Say no, she must come out of this, then go in unknown tongues way. Thank you, Jesus. That's how Branham prayed all his family members out of death, his wife, right? He doesn't pray religious prayer. He said, Lord, you need me. I need my wife. Give her back to me. He said, I don't want to train another one. You marry another one, you got to train her up again. Wasting time. Just give her back. You know. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 22. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. The Bible never says God spoke to him. He heard. And the soul of the child came back to him and he revived. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Elijah pleads for the Shunammite woman. Elijah was Elijah's disciple. When the Lord took Elijah and he did not see death, his anointing came upon Elijah in double portion. Elijah often went to Shunam. You know, Elijah was Elijah's disciple. And what did he do? Serve Elijah. That every time Elijah eats, Elijah will bring water for him to wash his hand and other things. He served many years like that, he served. Until Elijah was taken. Then the same anointing, double portion came upon Elijah. And Elijah often went to Shunam. And a Shunammite woman built an upper room for Elijah to stay whenever he passed by. Now, in this family, the one who has faith was a Shunammite woman, not the husband. In fact, the Shunammite woman was the one who told the husband, he said, let's build an upper room for Elijah. He said, let's build an upper room for Elijah because he passed by often. Whenever he passed by, let him rest up there and let's feed him. First time he feed him, then the next time she told the husband, said, let's build an upper room for him. Amen. Now, this Shunammite woman had no children. Actually, if she had not taken Elijah into her home, she wouldn't have a son. If she didn't have a son, she wouldn't have a son who died. So in a sense, that's why she kind of told Elisha off, no, I didn't ask for a son. And now I got a son, and now my son died. So actually, in this situation, it wasn't God who brought Elijah the prophet to the Shunammite woman's home to bless her. You know, God knew that one day her son would die. No. In this case, it's because Elisha seems to pass by every time, and the Shunammite say, you know, invite the prophet in her home for a meal. And then after they say, let's build an upper room. And when after he built the upper room for him, he just come often free stay. What? In those days, no Airbnb. Right? And then, you know, when he stayed, then the woman got blessed. This Shunammite woman, in those days, you're a Jew, you got no son, it's shameful. And she wasn't even asking for a son. She wasn't asking, desiring for a son. No, the Lord just blessed her. God will bless you because you are his child. But once you obey him, you serve him, he bless you even without you asking for it. I mentioned in the New Testament, there's a scripture in John 15. After you obey him, he bless you. That means you didn't even ask for it, he bless you. Now you see it here in this Shunammite woman. She kept feeding Elijah the prophet because he was God's prophet. She built a home for him to stay and feed him with nice lamb. And the Lord just blessed her with a son. She didn't even ask for it. And this Shunammite woman was well off. She doesn't need any favor with the king or the generals in the city that Elijah was going to. And then, you know, you come and stay in my house and you told me I'm going to have a son and now I'm going to have a son and suddenly my son died. And it was miraculously that she had a son because she couldn't have children. Miraculously, the Lord spoke through Elijah and she had a son. And one day the son died of heat stroke. The son was still young and in the field working with the father. And when the son in the field died of heat stroke, the father said, carry him to the mother. So the mother is the one who had faith. Amen. The Shunammite woman was a woman of faith, of great faith. Amen. She put her son's body in the upper room she built for Elijah and went to look for Elijah. Many times what you let God use, God will use it in return to meet your need. The room, upper room, she built for Elijah to meet Elijah, God's prophet's need. God used it to meet her need. She put the son up in that room. And she refused to let Elijah go unless he went home with her. This woman went to look for Elijah, and on the way, she told her husband all is well when the son is dead in the upper room. She said, all is well. Then when Elijah's servant met this Shunammite woman, asked her, is everything all right? She said, all is well. That's a faith statement. All is well. When your son is dead, all is well. And she looked for Elijah and said, you must come to my house. You don't come, I won't let you go. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. When Elijah came into the house, there was a child lying dead on his bed. Verse 33. Then he went in there, shut the door behind the two of them. That means he shut everybody out. And he prayed to the Lord. Now, so far, God has not spoken to Elijah. Same thing as Elijah. God just kept silent. Verse 34, he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth. He did the same like Elijah. Copied what Elijah did when on top of the dead body. And he stretched himself out on the child and the flesh of the child became warm, right? So he came to the house, went up to the upper room where the boy was lying. Elijah prayed, interceded. The word pray means intervene. Intervene is interceding. Interceding, intercede for the boy is like supplication. There is an element of pleading. Amen. The word pray here, not pray to God, is intervene or interceding. Intervene is intercede, right? So actually, Elijah here also plead. Amen. And he seems to have copied what Elijah did with the widow's son. Elijah stretched out on the child. Elijah laid on the child. And Elijah had faith to intercede. 2 Kings verse 4, chapter 4, verse 35. He returned and walked back and forth in the house. The body warmed up, but had not yet come back to life. So he turned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Elijah, God did not speak, right? But they have faith to plead or intercede or supplicate. Amen. And you can only plead or supplicate for somebody who is not the old folks, even young people. Because in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you never find old people get raised from the dead, always the young ones, right? So before you get old, you better learn what I'm teaching you now. Learn to know what to do, you know, when after prayer nothing works, you better listen to what the doctor has to say. So in summary, concerning all the men of faith in the Old Testament, one, Abel, by faith, sacrificed the firstborn of the lamb. And he pleased God because his act of faith was a prophecy of the death of Jesus, our sacrificial lamb. Enoch, by faith, believed that God would take him and he would not see death. God spoke to Enoch, "You'll be taken." He believed, else God could not just take him. So Enoch just disappeared. Enoch did not go into heaven because nobody goes into heaven before Jesus died and rose again. Thirdly, Noah, out of reverence for God's commandment, continued to obey God. When he heard God's commandment, faith came. Out of reverence for God's commandment, he obeyed. And that's how we should follow his leading. When God speaks, we need to honor and reverence his leading, his commandment. Amen. We shouldn't argue with him. We should just follow his leading. Noah, out of reverence for God's commandments, continued to obey God for 100 years and build the ark and save not himself, but save his family. Amen. The fourth one, when the Lord spoke to Abraham to leave Mesopotamia, Abraham left by faith without knowing where he was going. The fifth one, Sarah judged God was faithful in fulfilling the promise of the impossibilities of having a son. By faith, she received God's power to conceive at old age. Amen. So you see, they responded to God differently by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Joshua, the sixth one, by faith, marched around Jericho for 7 days and believed the wall will fall. So he marched around by faith 7 times, followed his instruction carefully, exactly. Marched 7 days, the first day, 1 time, the last day, marched 7 times, no more, no less. A seventh example is Gideon, by faith, obeyed God's command to bring only 300 soldiers into battle from the 10,000. He defeated the greater army. Amen. Beginning with 32,000, 22,000 didn't want to go to war. Then left 10,000, 10,000. God said, "You just pick these 300. Tell the others to go home." Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you praise.